please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
Welcome. This is James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, I am so pleased and happy to be here with you. And we're going to take a small break from the beginning as we wait for our callers to call in and look forward to the opportunity to share our opinions about some of these outstanding issues that are going to impact us each and every day.
This song means a lot to me because there was a time in my life when I couldn't love myself enough to love anyone else. But now I'm in love. And for Mary J. Blige, that's rare. Relationships are really, really hard to keep together. But let me explain to y'all what happened to me. Chemistry was crazy from the get-go. Neither one of us knew why. People swore it off as a fate, said we can't be that. Now from top to bottom, they see that we did that. Yeah. It's so true that we've been through it. Before we got real, yeah. Baby, we've been too long for too long.
And I can't be without you, baby.
And I'll be waiting up until you get home.
Cause I can't be without you.
Hard to fake it.
This is your host, James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, the last time we were on the show, we were talking about social programs and how it was so important that we meet the needs of those who may not be in the best place in their lives, who needed a helping hand. And a lot of my callers were saying that people needed to really pick themselves up by their bootstraps and take advantage of the opportunities that are out there for a lot of people. And I recognize America is the greatest country in the world when it comes to being able to educate yourself and find a way to sell yourself in order to find a job. I'm not at all trying to make excuses for some of the people who are out there who are not able to find work, even though I do believe there are people who fall through the cracks, who just don't fit the proper mold, or who have a lot of human traits that don't fit their the ability to go to a job every day. And so education is a very important component of being able to turn yourself into someone who needs to work every day. But I think there's some issues that I want to discuss today that have to do with our government and has to do with America in general, that we're going to have to revisit some of the things that we have allowed ourselves to get into that impact the way that we do business. I went and did a little research and found out that America collects about $1.5 trillion in taxes every year. And we run a debt of about $20 trillion each year. Now, you would think if you collected $1.5 trillion that would be a way for you to balance the budget. And the truth is that 16 years ago, Bill Clinton gave a surplus of money over to the Republican Party. You know, they don't like to discuss that. They don't like to talk a lot about the fact that it has not been centuries and centuries and centuries ago that we had a budget or an economy that was paying for itself. It was only 16 years ago the Democratic Party turned over a surplus of money to the Republican Party. And you have to understand that what eats up a surplus or what makes us unable to balance our budget is poor governmental decisions related to a lot of things. It's not just one thing, but it's related to a lot of things. Our government makes poor decisions, and they don't hold companies accountable for the theft that goes on against the federal government. And so until we're willing to deal with the theft and the bad decision-making in our government, we're never going to get to the point where we balance our budget or we're able to pay our bills without going into debt. another thing is, we can't continue to believe that we are the police of the world. We can't continue to believe that we have to be prepared and ready to stick our nose into everything that happens. Sometimes we have to give people the ability to solve their own issues. And if the world wants to get involved and the world wants to put its money where its mouth is, then, of course, we need to be a part of a coalition that seeks out to help the society. But as I was doing my research, I came up with a lot of different figures. You know, we get angry and mad and upset about the welfare here in America. And understand, the welfare that we give to American citizens, that we give to farmers, and we give to companies and small companies to grow themselves, are here in America, benefiting Americans. But at the same time, we give a huge amount of money away to people outside America. We give Israel $3.5 billion a year. We give Egypt $1.5 billion. Afghanistan gets $1.1 billion. Jordan gets a billion. Pakistan gets $933 million. It is amazing, when I was doing the research, how many countries get a welfare check from America. Now, what else can you call it? These are dollars that they are given each and every year with literally nothing in return. Now, Japan is not on this list, but without even thinking about it, without even researching, Japan has to give none of its economy to the protection of Japan because we protect Japan. So there in itself, they can spend their money on all kinds of things when they can eliminate the debt that they would go into as a result of being required to protect themselves. Very little of their economy goes into protection of their country because we do that for them. And I just want to ask, or go on record, is it something that we can continue to do? Can America continue to be the policeman of the world when we find ourselves in this much debt? Or should we be requiring our government to make better decisions, create better policies that alleviate some of our financial responsibilities to sources outside of our country? I believe in the fact that our country should provide health care for every American. Our country should provide education, good education, to every American who wants it. Now, when we are collecting $1.5 trillion, there has to be a way, or should be a way, that we should be able to balance our budget or put in place some type of program or policy that will bring us close to that. We cannot continue to get involved in every little war and skirmish that depletes our resources. We have to look and try to determine what is this in our best interest and how can we go about it in the best way to reach a goal that will not deplete our resources. And we have to reach a consensus around the world where we are not sitting out there trying to be the only one holding up the limb. I'm a staunch Democrat, and as a Democrat, I want to do what's in the best interest of our people. And I know that being a Democrat moves me closer and closer to socialism. But there can be responsible socialism. You can do what is right for your people are those who that you are responsible for without running amok. And again, when we had a surplus with Bill Clinton, we are more than capable finding a time and a place or putting together policies that will allow us to go back to that time. We have to just be responsible. We have to look at what it is going on and make the right decisions and right choices. And it does not mean that we have to be isolate ourselves from the world. The world has to be ready and able to recognize that we may have to cut back on some of our foreign aid until we get our own house in order. The world may have to recognize that for a few years they may have to put up more money in order for us to get our house in order. And today, while I'm on the show by myself and there's no call-ins right now, I just want to say and put on record that we have to do what's in the best interest of our country and sometimes put blinders on about what's going on outside of our existence until we get our own house in order. Or at least put ourselves first. And it does not mean forgetting about the rest of the world. Of course, what goes on in the Middle East and in Europe and in Asia, something to do with us. And we need to respond accordingly. But if we can't get the general consensus of the rest of the world related to what we should be doing, then we should not be going at these things alone when it costs us too much financial. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about financial responsibility, our responsibility to the world, and what it is we need to do in order to get our house back in order.
Yeah.
Hi, this is your host, James T. Deshay, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and we're discussing how our government needs to get its house back in order and take responsibility for the things that we need to do in order to correct the things that have gone wrong. There's no reason if we're collecting $1.5 trillion in federal taxes not to talk about sales tax and property tax and all the other taxes that we collect. We ought to be able to put ourselves in a better financial position. We need to recognize that, again, only 16 years ago, under Bill Clinton, we had a surplus that we handed the Republicans. And now it's time to not say that this is a Republican problem or a Democratic problem. This is a American problem. We need to put back in perspective what is our role around the world and what should we do first to correct our country's situation before we take on the burdens of the world. It is important that we recognize that we may have to cut back on some of the aid that we give other countries so as to, again, get our own house in order. We have to recognize and take responsibility of how much it costs us to intervene in the private issues of other countries and whether or not we can take on the cost of war in a situation that does not directly involve us, that more countries are going to have to be held accountable to take on the responsibility of overseeing their protection. And we need to better identify those that are responsible for our world being in jeopardy so that we can directly deal with those people if that's what it takes. But we cannot continue to be the policemen of the world. We have to identify what the threat is, identify it in a way that we can eliminate it in the least amount of time so that it does not cost our country so much money in terms of getting to the end of a threat. We cannot carry these situations on for 10 or 15 years unless the world is willing to spend more of their dollars in support of us being the policemen of the world. It concerns me that we're spending nearly $10 billion on foreign aid. We have to get to the point where we have a balance and have a government that's working in the best interest of our country. And I think we can reach that point if we are willing to stop putting party first and put America first. And I am no way at all interested or siding with the likes of Donald Trump. I think it just makes good common sense that we take a more financial perspective to what's going on in our country. And when we were so willing a couple of days ago to fight about the nickels and dimes that people are taking advantage of in our country, when we're not looking at the bigger perspective, the money that we're spending outlandishly around the world related to protecting the world, we have to get more other countries involved and recognize that we have to sometime put ourselves first and our financial house in order. When we're giving Israel $3.5 billion in foreign aid, I think we have to take a different perspective about who we give money and why, and how often we can continue to give it. Regina, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just doing a little fussing about. I did some research today, and I found out that we collect $1.5 trillion in taxes every year. And it is costing us nearly $19 to $20 trillion to run our country. So we're not doing well in terms of trying to balance our budget or put things in the right perspective about what it is we can and cannot do. And so we need people in government who are going to try to run our country fashion that it does not allow us to continue to take on debt every year. And I was telling the audience that a lot of times we forget that under Bill Clinton, we had a surplus. So it wasn't until we started fighting all these wars and getting involved in all these conflicts that we start taking on all this debt. So,
okay.
You know, when we're fussing about the welfare programs and the food stamp programs and the insurance, we need to give some understanding to whether or not we can continue to give all these countries such massive amount of money in foreign aid. Did you look at the numbers that I emailed you?
Huh?
I emailed you some numbers related to the billions of dollars that we give away to different countries and how we protect Japan completely, and that maybe we need to be holding on or holding off on dropping all these bombs and spending all this money in the military that we do in terms of these different issues that come up unless we know specifically who we are targeting.
Okay, I'm not in disagreement with you on the amount of aid that is given and the monies that are spent on wars. And I am very much in agreement with you that we need to start trying to balance our own budget and take care of our own as opposed to going out and spending so much overseas and not taking care of our own. I'm in total agreement with you. But my point still stands with the other day, and that was not an argument. That was a discussion that we were having, and I agree with you. We need to start taking care of our own and balancing our budget.
And we have to seek some kind of understanding with the countries around the world that, you know, America cannot be the police of the world. You know, maybe we need to revisit NATO and recreate a more balanced situation where more and more of everyone's income or assets are used to protect the world. And I don't have a problem with America being the biggest provider, but certainly everybody needs to be putting into the pot when we send a missile that everybody paid a portion of the cost used to shoot that missile in the direction that it needs to go into. So if that means that, you know, listen, to offset our cost and the undertaking that we're going to take, we need you all to put a little bit more into the pot. And I don't think that has to be a Democratic position or a Republican position. That needs to just be a financial position.
And I'm in total agreement with you. And I also believe that we need to stop with the bipartisan arguments, come together, and I don't even know if this is a word, as a unipartisan people and take care of the United States, balance our budget, make sure we're solid, stop being so beholden to these other countries such that we feel that every time they get into something that we've got to go and be a part of it. It's almost like I loaned, you know, it's like a loan shark type thing. I loaned you this, so you've got to pay me back, but you're not paying back what you're paying back double and triple. Or it's like someone who says, well, remember when you needed help? Now I need help, and the help that that person needs is much more serious than the help that they gave you, if that makes sense.
I think that we need to come together, understand that the world is getting smaller. I understand that. I mean, what impacts America has an impact on all the countries on the earth. So that's even more reason why we need to recognize, we need to come to the table and determine what is in the best interest of the world. And if we're focusing on the Middle East requires that more countries get involved, more countries send support to squash a situation, then that's what we need to do. But it should not be the undertaking of America alone. There needs to be a understanding that, and when it comes to policing the world, there needs to be a coalition that makes the decision to do what's in the best interest of America. And if people aren't willing, if Russia doesn't want to be a part of that, are they always holding up the situation so we can't do what we is necessary, then maybe they need to be kicked out. I don't know, but all I do know is that we have to come to the point where we give up less of the responsibility of policing the world and taking on that financial debt and doing what's in the best interest of our country. When we're collecting this kind of money, $1.5 trillion each year, we ought to be in a much better shape than we are right now.
Well, I heard what you said about a collective group of people making these decisions. Talking about a collective group of people worldwide, I thought that was what the United Nations was for.
And it is, but I'm saying to you, if the United Nations is constantly being blocked by countries like Russia, or one country, you know, it doesn't take but one or two votes to neglect their power, then we may need to reorganize so that we can overcome those people who are not looking at the best interest of the world. There is no reason whatsoever that we should have the Middle East in this much turmoil if the whole world recognizes that that particular issue needs to be squashed.
So what else, what would you suggest?
I just think we need to reevaluate. I think we just need to come together and reevaluate and honestly have a discussion related to how we're going to go about ruling the world and how are we going to deal with countries like Russia, who seem to think it's Russia, North Korea, and countries in the Middle East who seek to disrupt the peace of our world. And I'm not calling for any world war or anything of that type, but there should be a unification of those countries, and the majority of countries want to live in peace. And those countries that want to live in peace need to recognize that there's a cost for living at peace, and we need to contribute in a way that makes it easy on everybody.
Well, who do you think should lead this discussion? See,
who
that's
do I think
what's going to be the problem. The problem is, who should lead the discussion? You have to have a moderator to lead this type, these types of discussions. Problem, because if one country tries to take the lead, then the other countries are going to think that they're trying to be the most powerful country.
Well, I just think that just like in anything else, there's a democracy and everybody should contribute to the conversation, but contribute to it in a fashion that is honest and above board. Recognize that we all have to be held accountable for what it is that we do in our individual countries so that we do it in a financially responsible way, and that we can't just look at America to carry the burden for the whole world. And so once we lay that law down, there's some things that we just have to be honest and steadfast related to, that says we're going to continue our efforts to bring peace to the world, but we need other countries to consider how they would contribute to that peace. And how would we go about policing the world so that it's not just one country's responsibility? And I think we can have an honest conversation like that. We don't want to be imperialists. We're not looking to overthrow the world. And I don't necessarily believe that Russia wants to overthrow the world. But recognize that they're going to, in order for all of us to live in peace, we're going to have to dial back some of the combativeness that exists in our society.
Well, I honestly believe that just like the old saying, charity begins at home, that conversation would need to begin at home first within the United States.
That's true.
The way we're going now, we can't even... It's as if our whole democracy is falling apart. So we really need to get things together because we're falling apart, which means that as a trickle-down effect, the way we behave and the way we govern ourselves is going to be a trickle-down effect such that it governs the decisions that we make around the world.
If there's anything positive that can come out of what we're presently going through, we may be able to better sit down, Democrats may better be able to sit down at the table with Republicans and recognize that we need to do what's in the best interest of our country, or people like Donald Trump will divide us and create some issues that we will not be able to overcome. So I'm looking forward to Hillary being voted in as president. I'm looking forward to her sitting down at the table if the end result is that a lot of Republicans crossed over and voted Democrat to end Donald Trump's campaign, that we come to the table and vote the best interests of our country and not the best interests of the party. We have to seek to do what puts America in a better place, because the truth is that we have a lot of things going for us. The fact that we're raising this kind of money means that there are a lot of people out there working and a lot of people out there living in a decent fashion. So therefore, as a country, we need to be able to do more for ourselves if we are collecting this kind of money.
Certainly hope that that is what happens as we move forward into the 2017 year after this election, that we become more responsible to each other, more responsible first to our cities, our states, and it has a trickle-up effect. And we're more we're able to get along and come to better decisions about things that affect us as a nation.
Well, what we're going to have to do is I hope that the Republican Party decides that what's more important for America is not denying everything that you can deny to keep the Democrats from doing anything positive, but I hope that both parties recognize that it's not about the party, it's about America, and that we need to do what's in the best interest of the people and the best interest of the country and stop all the party fighting or infighting that we do to keep one party from having any positive effect on our society. We have to recognize that hopefully after President Barack leaves office, that now instead of being so committed, the Republican Party being so committed to his failure, that can now be committed to the success of America.
And
we're
going to
take another short break. I'll be right back with you, Regina. Let me take this short break, and we'll come back to finish our discussion related to what is in the best interest of America and how do we go about changing the direction of our politics. Continue our conversation related to the policies that have gotten us to this point, and how do we go about turning around our direction? What do we do in terms of a nation and make sure that we are financially stable and that we're doing what is in the best interest of our country as well as the world? It is important that we recognize that we all have to be part of the solution, that we have to stop this infighting amongst our government officials and look to solve the problems, the issues that we have here in America. All right, Regina, we're back, and we just want to talk about what are your thoughts about what do you think the Democratic Party and the Republican Party ought to do to try to quickly solve this division that we have between the two parties?
At some point, somebody's going to have to understand that we cannot, that together we stand and divided we fall. And so at some point, that's going to be realized, and we're going to come together.
Well, certainly there seems to be a lot of racial animosity right now. It seems that right now that the racial divide is a lot deeper than we ever thought, and that at some point there's going to have to become a meeting of the minds where a lot of poor white Americans recognize that they're in the same boat with poor minorities, both Hispanic and African American, and that we need to demand that what is good for the goose is good for the gander. So therefore, I go back to that we need to make sure we make everybody pay their fair share. And I just don't think that rich Americans of all races are paying their fair share. And once we get together and recognize there has to be a balanced way of determining who needs to pay what type of costs related to taxes, and then the federal government spend it in a fashion that is in the best interest of America.
Well, as soon as Hillary's, Madam President Hillary Clinton is elected, I believe some of these voices that we're hearing so loudly are going to become mute again, and we'll be back on the road to recovery. I believe that the exposure of the rip-binding tax loop to avoid paying taxes was a good thing, and that tax hole is going to be closed as soon as these elections are over and Congress goes back into session. So there are some positive things that have come about as a result of these the elections this year. And I'm looking forward to them. And if not finding ways to close the loophole, then it has exposed common people to ways that they can take advantages of some of the tax loopholes. And I don't mean take advantage in a negative way, but be more cognizant of their tax preparation and look for ways that they don't have to pay as many taxes as Donald Trump did. So I believe that some positive things are going to come about as a result of all of this fussing and fighting.
I, too, want to believe that something positive is going to come. Some eyes have been opened. Clearly, there are some issues that we need to deal with on a society basis that will help us to mend some of these fences that have been created. We have to recognize the value that people play in our society. A lot of these Latinos play a crucial, important value in our society in taking jobs that a lot of people don't want, but are meaningful positions that we have to have. And they are a strong tax base, which pays part of that $1.5 trillion that the federal government is getting. And then we need physical responsibility in our government to make sure the money is spent appropriately and that we find a way to balance our budget and pay our debt down and don't get involved in conflicts that we can't afford. All of these are the kinds of things that we need to seriously look at so that we don't get ourselves in the situation that we're presently in.
Well, you know, Dennis, one thing that I would like to just make sure that we encourage, because we're thinking very globally, and we are a global people. We have to keep the global issues in mind and at hand and at the forefront of importance. But we also need to remember that the things that we can best touch and best have an effect over is really the local election and the things that are happening right there in your immediate community. And as I've said several times tonight, that trickle-up effect is what we're going to need to look at, that we can create young people who are going to have our best interest in mind as young people and grow them into the politicians who would be very cognizant of the issues that are affecting our people. That is what will actually help our nation as a whole. Because what we're dealing with now are hardcore, seasoned politicians who are very, very, very set in their ways. And we've got to send better people up there to get a better result.
And you're so right, and we have to demand that they work together, and that if they can't work together, because we have to recognize and understand that it's always in the best interest of our country to find a balanced way of dealing with the issues that we have so that we do what's in the best interest of the people, and that them doing all that fighting amongst themselves just to deny anything to be done is not an effective way to run our government.
Well, we would hope that they would understand that, but really, personally, I feel that even though we say if they don't do, then they can be rebuilt most, there are enough of those folks who support these wayward thinking people, and you know, enough people to keep them in office. So we're going to have to come to some sort of place where we can agree to disagree and then actually think about what is best for our society and for our citizens. Even if you don't agree with it, will it be best for the majority of the people who you are serving, the majority of your constituents, and stop all of this fighting?
Yeah, I mean, it has been so ridiculous and so easy for anybody who's willing to take a good look at it that we have not, over the last 8 years, there's been so much more effort put on not accomplishing anything than it has been on allowing intelligent options to happen, regardless of who might benefit or be held accountable for good things happening. And so, you know, we need to get rid of that foolishness and recognize that what is the most important is that we do what's best for the country and not try to upstage each other, that what is best for the country is that the needs of the people are taken care of first.
And I agree with you on that. That is very true. But let's also feel our young people to start becoming politically active and starting to make positive choices or positive decisions, or become people who can make decisions and make good decisions for our country. We got to start creating these leaders. When you look around now, who's speaking for us? I mean, we have some great leaders that are coming up, but we need more, and people who are going to be keeping our best interests, because we just saw what happened with all of this election and all of this mess. And it is
in a very ugly time, and that's why I'm saying there's some real deep cuts that have not healed well, and that we're dealing with a lot of racial division. And when we ought to be thinking about what's most important to America as a whole, we're just dealing with a lot of ugliness and divisiveness that needs to be taken care of.
Yes.
Well, we're at the end of another hour, and it has been an outstanding opportunity to discuss with you, Regina, what's going on in our world, and we need to have all Americans pay a lot more attention to what our government is doing, and that we need to participate in what's happening in our government, not just when it comes time to vote, but anytime there comes time to legislate the direction our country is going in. This is Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I want to ask you to get involved in the show. We're on 7 days a week, from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I look forward to talking with you and having your opinion heard loud and clear on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m.
People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no bed. To hear the diesels humming, you don't need no ticket, you just think along. So people get ready for the train to join, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors of boredom. There's hope for all among those who love the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner. Would hurt all mankind just to save his own.